The word of God that I want to direct your attention to this morning is the first scripture reading from Acts 8. I'd like to read once again, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So far. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, he opened his mouth and told him about the good news of Jesus. If ever you want a clear, simple, straightforward definition of evangelism, I think we have it right here in our text. It fulfills what Jesus had told the disciples before this. Mark says it like this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The words of the Great Commission, which we're all familiar with, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things. And in the book of Acts, just before Jesus went to heaven, ascended back to the Father, he had told his disciples, those gathered there, 120, you are my witnesses beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Well, here in our text for this morning, we're already beginning to get to the ends of the earth, Gaza, this desert place. And Philip, the evangelist, certainly told this Ethiopian eunuch the good news about Jesus. You know, our world desperately needs good news, doesn't it? We hear so much bad news. You know, sin reaches with its tentacles into almost every area of life. And I just randomly pulled out a paper from this past week and just share with you a couple headlines. Gunman kills four in bizarre assault. A dragon boat's capsized, drowning 17 of 60 boaters tossed in water. That was in China. Scores killed in Kabul suicide blast. And then I come to more good news, the obituaries. So anytime you open the paper, you're going to find a whole lot of bad news. You can just check it out in today's Sunday paper. There's going to be a lot of bad news. Well, you and I need some good news. And God's Word has good news for us. We have a Savior who died for us. We just celebrated Easter. We continue to celebrate Easter. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. He offers us forgiveness of sins daily. He offers us eternal life, joy in the Spirit. He restores that broken relationship that we have because of our sin. He restores that so we have a dear, loving Heavenly Father. And that's the good news that we have to tell. That's the good news that this Ethiopian eunuch had to share with, that Philip shared with this Ethiopian eunuch. Our text introduces us to him. We don't know a lot about him, but he was an important government official. The treasurer of the nation of Ethiopia. He was formerly a Gentile. He had become a proselyte, which is a Jewish convert. That's why he was in Jerusalem, probably for one of the major festivals of the Jewish year. And now he was on his way back home to Ethiopia. And then Philip encounters him. We're told that this eunuch was riding along in his chariot. He was reading from Isaiah 53. What a wonderful chapter of the Old Testament. I think the Lord was already directing it at this point because he was reading Isaiah 53, one of the most clear chapters of the suffering and death of Jesus. All the details that Isaiah gives there in 53, it's like he was at the foot of the cross as he writes in Isaiah 53. But we're specifically told that he was reading from Isaiah 53 and he read these words, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him about Jesus. Jesus, the center of the Old Testament, the center of the New Testament, the center of all of scripture, who desires also to be the center of our lives. The lamb that was slain has begun his reign. John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the eunuch was reading about this lamb that was silent before its shearers. And we know definitely that Jesus was silent before Pontius Pilate, wasn't he? He refused to defend himself. He didn't open his mouth, but he allowed himself to be falsely accused, convicted, and ultimately crucified on that cursed tree of the cross. The good news that matters for eternity, the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. The Lamb who was slain is now alive, and he's alive forevermore. And that brings joy to us who trust in him. And that's the message that God has really given us, his church, to share with the world. And as we look at this a little bit more closely, we see some principles that can be helpful in our own witnessing as we look at this encounter between the Philip and this Ethiopian. We're told here in our text that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. Philip was available and he was obedient, wasn't he? The angel of the Lord directed him to go to Gaza, and we're told here he rose and he went. And certainly that's where it all begins, that a willingness of heart, an obedient heart to the Lord, as he gives us opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. I like to look at this as kind of a divine appointment. It's pretty clear here that God was involved. It involved, you know, angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, directing this encounter to take place. And I would suggest to you that the Holy Spirit also has some divine encounters for you, where you are able to be able to witness a witness of Christ, that good news that we have a Savior who loves us and gave himself for us. And then also, besides being obedient and willing to be used, we're told here that Philip ran to him, to the chariot, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" In terms of our own witnessing, relational evangelism, if you get to know someone, then that allows you the opportunity to speak of matters of faith and spiritual issues. Because everyone you meet really has spiritual issues, don't they? You can be certain of that. Whether they want to talk about them or not is the question. But they're thinking of questions relating to life and death. But Philip simply says, what are you reading? He found that common point, didn't he? As this Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah. And so when you encounter people in your life, whether it's a coworker, whether it's someone at the LA Fitness, whether it's at a book club, someone you've gotten to know, look for that common point of interest. And certainly here it was pretty well laid out for Philip, because he was reading right from the Bible. You probably won't find that too often, but nonetheless, he found that proper opening. And then he became very specific. Those are the words of our text that I read earlier. Philip opened his mouth, beginning with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And you know, it is true that you and I as Christians are always witnesses. We're witnesses either for good or for ill regarding the Lord. And we witness by our actions, acts of loving service, taking that hot dish to the neighbor who just lost his wife. Those are acts of loving service, and they spring from, those are the fruits that Jesus talks about. When you're connected to the vine, you're the branch, and when you're connected to Jesus, you produce fruit. And certainly those acts of love are important, but ultimately we need to share verbally the good news of Christ, because that's the Holy Spirit works through the gospel. And even though we can look at this incident and find some helpful principles for our own witnessing, Philip's really not the center of attention in this text. Philip, like you and me, was simply called to be a witness. To tell the good news of Jesus, the real work was done by the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? We're not, we don't have to sell the gospel. We don't have to manipulate. Simply, as Philip did, he told the good news about Jesus. The Holy Spirit did his thing, and a new person was brought into the kingdom. We have the Word and the sacraments, both active here. The Word, Isaiah, led to belief and then to baptism. As they were riding along, the Ethiopian asked, "Well, what's to keep me from being baptized?" And so you have, for us as Lutherans, you got the Word and you got the sacrament, And that's how God makes disciples. You know, Paul wrote to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, on another occasion he said, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, you know, but God gives the growth. And I find it kind of interesting in this book of Acts, you know, our first lessons have been taken from the book of Acts, these Sundays of Easter. And as the church grows, it's described like this. The word of God continued to increase and spread. It was the word of God. It wasn't so much Peter and John and Paul. It was the word of God that increased and spread. And the Holy Spirit gave joy, didn't he? We're told here that we don't know how this all happened, but the Holy Spirit whisked Philip away. He departed from the scene, and the Ethiopian went on with joy. He went rejoicing because he now knew where true joy is to be found. I love that collect that's prayed. Actually, it's the collect for today. May our hearts be fixed where true joys are to be found. And that's in Jesus. That's where true joy is to be found. And as we remain in him, as Jesus himself reminded us in today's gospel, we begin and we produce fruit. And part of the fruit is being witnesses for Christ. To tell that good news about Jesus. Here, Philip helped the Ethiopian understand that this gospel was talking about, that Isaiah was talking about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit worked faith. The Ethiopian was baptized. And did you know that even yet today, this was the first Christian, but I think Ethiopia is still about 63% Christian. And you can trace it all the way back to this encounter that the Holy Spirit worked through Philip. The Lord certainly desires for us to tell others about Jesus. I've mentioned before how he's bringing the world to us, isn't he? If you went into Richfield Public School, you could go to middle school, go to high school, and you will find well over 50% are ethnic. Latino, Asian, African Americans, new immigrants from Africa. Caucasian is definitely, we know it's the minority here in Richfield. And those are people for whom Christ died and he loves and desires to be in his kingdom. And it's basically relational. You all know that, that our neighbor, the house right next door to church, is where Camilla lives. And Camilla started coming to ESL. And a couple of our members befriended her. And eventually she came into my adult confirmation class, and she's now a member of Mount Calvary, and praise the Lord. That's just one person. But one person is significant in the eyes of the Lord, as we see here, this one Ethiopian, and how the Lord used that to spread his church. And so it's simply a matter of telling others about Jesus. We think it's really, really hard sometimes. You know, I had there's an outline in your bulletin. I encourage you to take out your outline. If you look in your bulletin and just take out this half sheet, and we're just going to, this is actually a salvation outline that is in the small catechism. It's in Luther's small catechism. And I think we should just read through it together. The parts that are in bold print are something that you could kind of easily get in your head. So let's read this together, these 7 points of a simple gospel outline. Let's go. Number one, let's do it together. God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Number two, you are a sinner, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number three, God punishes sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number four, Jesus took our punishment, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Number five, Jesus rose from the dead. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Number 6, Jesus offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to those who believe in him. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And then number 7, salvation is a free gift, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of the, not by works, so that no one may boast. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to pray for some divine appointments in your life, and then like Philip, tell the good news about Jesus. May God grant that in each of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.